Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Eric here with Red Ice TV. Good of you to join us today. Always a pleasure having you with us. Today we're going to talk more about the issue of censorship, the most pressing issue to many people on the right, many conservatives, many nationalists and patriots. We have a big problem, of course, with getting our message out through many of these Silicon Valley tech firms. And of course, in the wake of all of this, we have a movement of new platforms that are rising up. And we're going to begin on this note today and talk about a new one. I was introduced to one just a couple of days ago. The guys we're going to talk with kind of showed me a little bit of a tour. They set up an account already for Red Ice TV. Looks good. It looks very interesting. And I want to know more about it. I want to share this with you guys as well. So our guest today is Matt Bracken, who's been with us before. Welcome, Matt. Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Excellent. And then we also have Dan. We don't have video on you today, but you're with us.
Greetings, Henrik.
Excellent. Good to have you here. So, guys, tell us a bit about this. Matt, talk to me about when you encountered Dan and how much part of the platform, the development that you've been.
Well, this is one of the most interesting stories that I've been part of in the last 15 years since I've become an author, you know, and somebody trying to promote the freedom movement, the nationalist movement. And I was just on Twitter, and a guy approached me just in a comment and said, "Hey, follow me so I can text you. I got something to tell you." So I said, "Okay, why not?" And the next thing we know, we're Skyping back and forth, and I've met this amazing coder who has anticipated the problem situation we're in. Of course, I was naturally very suspicious because, you know, my inclination to always be paranoid and think things like this are a dangle. But all of my hesitance is completely blown away. And I'm proud to say that I'm in on the bottom of this, introducing it, this new platform, because it's not like another Twitter clone like Gab. It's not trying to be another YouTube like BitChute. And it's not like Minds trying to be Facebook. It's the entire universe under one roof in our control, which will combine the attributes of YouTube for uploading, sharing content, getting paid, monetized for content, as well as the Facebook functions, podcast functions, all under our control for a change. So I'm really psyched because, you know, the Dan, the coder, the programmer, he's not a front of the camera guy. So once he's ready, this thing's ready to launch like a rocket. You just light the fuse, it's going to take off. He needs to start getting the word out. And fortunately for me, I'm one of the first people that he reached out to. And everybody in our movement that I've been sharing this with is just super excited. And I would actually literally compare this to American media before Rush Limbaugh came on, when AM radio was a wasteland and all you had was network television. Then came Fox News, and it broke the monopoly of the ABC, CBS, NBC networks, shattered that monopoly, gave us another channel for conservatism. But now we're in a very dark era in 2018 with the internet slowly crushing us one corner at a time, whether it's, you know, being demonetized so that you can't show ads on YouTube, then they'll brigade you on Patreon so that Patreon takes away your ability to be funded. And slowly but surely, they're starving us out. Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch, he's having trouble even doing any banking with the credit card companies.
Yeah, that's right.
So while we have the illusion of free speech, everybody is self-censoring because you know that you can wind up, like James Woods, you post the wrong meme and you're out.
And you did that, so, Matt. Let's just briefly mention that. It was this one here that I'm pulling up on Facebook, right?
Correct. And I posted this on Facebook with a link to a science journal article about the monkeypox in the UK. So you can have a small scientific journal talking about monkeypox. It's even in Daily Mail. But if you combine it with a picture of uncontrolled immigration, you know, who knows who's in that boat? They're just going to run into Spain and then disperse through Europe. So for the sin of correlating these two new factual news stories, objective news in the same week, it's called on Facebook hate speech. And I get my sixth 30-day ban in the last year. And I only stay on Facebook. Everybody says, "Well, Matt, why don't you just bail out of Facebook?" Well, I want to test their censorship. So I purposefully say things non-inflammatory. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying, look what can happen from uncontrolled immigration. And I get another 30-day ban.
Reality is racist and hateful now. That's just what it is, right? We should just completely unfettered open our borders and let everyone in, no matter who they are, if they've joined ISIS, if they got diseases, everything. Doesn't matter, right? It's crazy. Yeah, it's nuts.
And you know, Dan just showed me this morning, and he saved made screen captures of the banning notices. The really great, like, small, tiny Fox News, but more nationalist, is One America News Network. It's 3:47 on DirecTV. Well, they do some in-depth programs. They did one a couple months ago. They've shown it again a few times, about Birmingham, England in the 1950s to today, with thousands of people praying, you know, Muslims praying. Well, this video from One America News Network, this is not, you know, alt-right hate group. It's banned on Twitter and banned on Facebook. It's an objective news story about Birmingham, England being taken over by Muslims. And, well, you wouldn't know. If you're on YouTube, you think everything's great. My cat, funny cat videos are working. You know, my quacking duck videos are working. You know, all of the silly SNL skits are working. But what people aren't seeing is that the really important news is being pushed out.
Absolutely.
And this is where it's important that we have our own YouTube, where we control the content. You know, where yourself and others will be finding a welcome home, and not being banished out of sight. You know, quietly taken out of the tent and shot, so to speak.
We're not supposed to notice that there's an invasion going on with the young men who might belong to terrorist organizations. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they're coming from. We don't know what they're going to do when they come to our countries. This is, of course, more an issue in Europe now, but anything that touches on this reality, Matt, they just want to put the lid on that and just pretend that it doesn't exist. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, we're seeing really the culmination of a century-old plan, the Kalergi plan, named for a Asian European diplomat. I guess he had his own psychological social problems with rejection in high diplomatic circles, perhaps. But he came up with the idea of destroying Europe by forcing an admixture to the point where there would be no more Europeans, and eventually the world is all in the middle somewhere. For me, in modern terms, globalism can't work while there are strong, proud, high intelligence countries that are successful. That just can't work. It won't function, because only in a high IQ, you know, of advanced technology country can you have the freedoms that we enjoy. And the globalist plan now is to essentially turn us all into Venezuela. And the way to do this is through uncontrolled immigration from low IQ countries, because guaranteed, any country with an IQ of average 90 is going to always vote for Marxists, period. They're never going to vote to, you know, tighten the belt, study harder. They're always going to vote for the, as they say, free shit army. And that's always going to work. And that's why in the U.S. context, the Democrats want open borders. In the European context, these Quislings, they want open borders too. It'll destroy Germany, destroy Sweden. And even right now this week, Hungary is in the gun sights, because a hero president in Hungary, Orban, is saying no to Brussels. And Brussels is starting to aim the guns at Hungary. So we're really in a crunch time. In our country, it's the midterm elections coming. If the Democrats win, that's the end of all of the deep state investigations and the beginning of really another level of rampant censorship. I mean, we saw this with James Woods, who posted a funny meme, and they said it's interfering in elections. So, you know, that's the new code. That's the new censorship code, interfering in elections. Well, that's whatever Twitter says. That's why we need our own Twitter, our own YouTube. It's not enough to try to duplicate YouTube with BitChute. Anytime that conservatives try to build one platform to occupy one corner of this space, like Gab or Minds, the rest of the internet, driven by our enemies, acts like antibodies to surround it and cut it off, to choke it off, to slander it as a hate site, whatever it would take, deny them funding. But we're going to control the entire house. the YouTube, the Twitter, the Facebook, the Patreon, the podcasting, everything, we're going to control it. And then what can we say?
So let's talk about this. And of course, it's always there are challenges with launching new platforms and stuff like that. But before we talk about those issues, let's just talk about the philosophy, Dan, and get you into the conversation here a bit and talk about, obviously, Matt has already laid a good foundation for why something like this is needed. What in addition would you say in terms of the philosophy was behind, you know, in the back of your head when you were coding and programming this new platform?
Yeah, well, I don't want to make too much theory about this. I have two brothers, and the starting point was quite simple because we had our own social media accounts, and we were raised like that to say what we think is right and what is true. And as the years went by, I saw that something was wrong. I mean, you post things, they disappear. You don't get any comments. You don't get any retweets. Sometimes even your comments are changed and edited. I mean, we documented everything on video, and then we looked at ourselves like 1 year ago, and we said, well, what could we do about it? And there were already two platforms that were on the market, and we took a look at it, and to be frank, we were really excited, 2 years ago, and we said, wow, that's great. Somebody's doing something. Let's get on it. So we looked at it, and years passed by, and it didn't really evolve. So I told my brothers, why not do our own? Why shouldn't we call it our own? And they said, you're crazy. And I said, okay, I'm going to start and do something, and let's see how it's going to go. So those platforms have emerged a few months ago, and I got really excited, but I didn't believe in it. The Torba clan had raised millions of dollars in the first year. I thought that the reversing of the situation was taking place, and a new presence would soon harbor tens of millions. I really thought tens of millions of disillusioned freedom lovers. But if you look at it, 3 years after, we have like 600,000 people on Gab with the critical catastrophic situation we have in the West, because you have the problem of censorship, which is a deliberate intent of the globalists to distort reality and to hide reality from the natives of the Western world, and to do what they want with them, which is a catastrophe. It has to be changed. But the other thing is technical. I mean, you need funds, you need structures, you need money, you need a lot of things. So, okay, they made a lot of donation calls. They got a lot of money. But I thought the result was not really what I wanted. So maybe it was naive, but I started to make my own universe. So months pass and everything worsened. As everybody knows, the global situation became worse by the day, and the ruthless actions of our enemies went also berserk, as we can see today. So censorship, shadow banning, deletion of followers, social silencing and shaming, doxing, whatever. All modern book day book burning actions, which Mao, Hitler and the global organizations like the EU would be proud of, because that's what they're doing. And look at Article 13 today. It's getting worse from bad to worse. So I started coding, and I said, okay, let's give it a try. 9 months after, we're here and the platforms are ready. I don't boast and say that I'm a Google coder, a Google level coder, but I did it in PHP. It's a good language. It's pretty safe, and it can be also bettered over the years if I get the support for it. But what I wanted to do, and what I told my brothers, we want to have everything under one roof. So you log in and you have your podcast platform. I don't need another platform I won't name here. You want your video platform, you have it in the back end, and it's as beautiful and as fast, almost as fast as the ones we know and are used to. And the comment sections are all encrypted to the best of our abilities, and people can write what they want. But it doesn't mean we decided not to make them the same mistakes than other alternative platforms that we also know, which gave really a free pass to anybody. And that we didn't want, because I had a moral principle, which I stood up with my brothers and I said, okay, I'm going to do a free speech platform, but I am not going to do a platform to invite people who eventually, if they came into power, with what they promote could take my own freedom away. So that means anything that is close or close to totalitarian systems like communism, Nazism, Islamism, and whatever is not allowed on my platform, on our platform.
Right.
You see, because if you allow them, you are a hypocrite. So I think it's a very good call because many people agree with me. I mean, you can, why are you censored on Twitter or Facebook? Because you say normal day-to-day things in a conservative manner. And that is already too much for them. And that, and for those arguments, I have built now a home. And I hope that many people will support it. It's registration is free. You can come in. You can, of course, upgrade to get a huge video channel and a huge podcast channel. But you have a new home and you can enjoy it. And the platform is really well built. You will ask Matt. It's really, I'm happy with what I've done. I hope that I will get the support that I need and that we need, because for me, we're all brothers in this. So we'll see.
We got to fight back for sure, definitely. So there are, of course, always issues, new issues with launching something and getting it out there and getting it popular and stuff like that. How do you vision the launch? And you said that you wanted to initially, anyone can, of course, register, but is it open to anyone who wants to upload and creators and stuff like that too, or just the consumers of the published material?
You just need a computer and know how to fill a registration form and you can register. But we have our terms of use. You have to read them. And you have to abide by them. Once you do that, all the functions in the platform are free to use, which means uploading video into our cloud. You can upload podcasts directly into the social media platform. You can have your own groups, set them to private, to public. You have your own blog. You can save your own posts. And that's all for free. If you go on other platforms, well, they want a little bit of money for it. We said, okay, we're going to do this for free. But if you want really those functions, those basic functions, like, for example, videos, you can only upload videos up to 100 megabytes inside of the social media platform. If you want a full-blown, for example, you show it here, a podcast platform with 1 gigabyte of space, 1 gigabyte, that means you can post 100,000 podcasts, yeah? Then you'll have to upgrade to Pro. Same things for the video platform. If you want to upload videos with 400 or 500 megabytes in HD and many videos at the same time, you can drop like 200 videos and they'll be uploaded one after the other, and you can go to sleep until it's done in the morning. It's of course an extreme case, but you can upload 1, 2, 3 videos and go through, drink a coffee, and then you'll get an amazing result in HD on the platform. The loading times are pretty short. And there's not so much buffering. So you get an emulation of the basic function in the big functions if you go pro on our platform.
So there's a lot of different features, as you said. It's like a YouTube, end, if you will, of the platform. There's a podcast end. There's the Twitter, Facebook style, social media interface as well.
It's a mix. It's a mix because it's like a Facebook. But Twitter has follower, and that's we integrated here. So you have a kind of Facebook with a follower following system. So it's a mix, and you can also retweet. Yeah, you can repost to your timeline any post. You can save the posts. So it's pretty good. You can play a video, any video, for example.
And you can embed, of course, still existing videos on other platforms.
That's the point. You can embed our own videos in our own social media platform.
Right.
So there's no short circuit. Yep. So that's it.
Well, I mean, it's definitely needed. And I think in this case, it's like definitely the more the merrier in terms of the way that we can spread out, because we know that Silicon Valley is not our friends and they're not going to be helpful to our cause. They're destroying our ability to get the word out. What else would you like to say before we move on and talk maybe about some of the challenges that also comes in the wake of something like this? Is there anything else that you're particularly proud with in terms of the platform, or something out there people that are interested in joining should know?
Well, in my case, to be honest, it's not a question of ego. It's a question that we need to achieve results, because we're in a very wonky situation right now and we have to reverse it by any means. That is the purpose of the platform. If it becomes successful and many people bring their support, that would be a great thing. But as you know, something has to be done, because the infrastructure is not on our side, as many other YouTubers have noted. So we have to do with what we can. Yeah. and be the David in the Goliath fight. Yeah, so we will see.
And then you said also, tell us more about that. There is a inside of the platform, there's an incentive for creators to upload and use the platform. Tell us more about that.
Of course, the social media platform and the video platforms are equipped with wallets, and which means if you upgrade to Pro, if you have a Pro account, a VIP membership, you will get paid for your views. So you will be credited for a specific amount for each view coming from other paying users, because you understand that you have to have a common pot where the money goes and where the money flies back to the creators. So I thought that was also a point why I did it, because I saw so many, there are so many good creators, small creators on platforms like BitChute or Gab, and they take their time every day to, you're a journalist yourself, you're a wonderful journalist yourself, you know what work it is to gather the information, put the videos together, explain that to the people, and then at the end you get nothing. So...
Right, we get this is exactly. Let's remind people about that too. That since the apocalypse, as they call it on YouTube, a lot of people who were on the right, more conservatives, they were financially disincentivized to continue keeping up and producing the content. Right, so if you want to talk about, like you mentioned, Matt, election meddling and this kind of stuff, right? Look at what platforms like YouTube are doing, where they actively are denying people that are on the right the same ability, the same access to use the YouTube platform as people on the left does, where they can monetize their videos, they can get paid, they can do the super chat thing, and then people on the right, they have to find different avenues financially to be able to do something like that full time, right? So it's built in, the unfairness in the system, if you will.
We're living in an era of total fake news. I mean, Trump is absolutely 1,000% right. We're still chasing this Russian boogeyman red herring up and down for a few million dollars of Facebook ads disinformation program, when the entire, you know, Google, Facebook, Twitter, they slant the field like this. You know, we have to walk uphill at a 90-degree angle. They're sliding down. I mean, it's a joke, the throttling, the shadow banning, the demonetizing. And this is all in the name of the cost is free. But to me, this is like, lemmings that are following a trail of poison rabbit pellets into a trap, all because the pellets are sweet and it's free. And as we often say in the USA, freedom isn't free. You know, it costs in blood, it costs in money, it costs in everything. And I want to remind people, the so-called free social media, well, somebody's making billions of dollars selling advertising.
It's never free.
Yeah, and their advertising model is based on strip mining the content of your brain, data mining your brain using social network computer tools to analyze all of your friends, every website you go to, how quick you click to this or that. I mean, they're measuring things we haven't even dreamed of to know our minds better than we know.
That's right. It's a studying. They're going to hand this over to an artificial intelligence at the end of it.
Today in China, well, you have Google working hand in glove with the Chinese tyranny to build this dragonfly program to, find dissidents for the Chinese to put in prisons, and they're happy to do it. So it tells you where Gulag, I call Google Gulag, where they're coming from. And if there's ever a tyranny coming in this country, which we can see the tyrant's face in the Kavanaugh hearing, that due process is out the window. If you're a white male Christian, you're guilty. You're crucified. You're on the cross. Because of who you are. So you know if they came to power, Google Gulag will just turn these tools over to the government to make arrest lists or banning lists or social credit, freedom denial lists. That's why it's a real fight now. This election coming up is only in a few weeks, and we need to have our tools. We can't go into the enemy territory and beg, please don't ban me, please. Please, you left-wing social justice warriors, let me show my video. And they say, well, Matt, that video you're talking about, the Great Replacement, isn't that code word for ethnic cleansing or genocide? So it's like you have to self-censor, which is the worst form of censorship, all to stay on supposedly free social media like Facebook. Well, the hell with it. I want to give people a target on the horizon, a free territory. People aren't just going to jump out on the ocean and start swimming. not unless they know that there's a free territory like Cubans coming to America. You know, Cubans don't swim south, they swim north. And just like that, people need to know that there's a free territory on the internet, and that's what we're building right now, or this is what Dan is building right now. And I think, and I honestly believe this, what Rush Limbaugh did for talk radio, what Fox News did, this platform has the potential of doing. And everything I've done in the last 15 years, to me, added up and led to one Twitter message and then text message between myself and the creator of this program. And that's why I'm here, to promote this idea, because it's a battle. But in this battle, we need weapons. And the weapon is in the information war is our own free platform, free thought content, where we're not banned, humiliated, slandered, you know, put in the dark corner and then demonetized.
Yeah, Matt, did you see the article where they, out of New York Times, they were talking about how YouTube had become, and of course, this is before they started changing things radically, that was the new talk radio, right? That right-wingers, nationalists had taken over YouTube and effectively become the big names on that, which is true, which is, of course, why we got the Alternative Influence Network report out of Data and Society. I don't know if you saw that, but I mean, that's what they're doing. They're mapping, they're tracing, that's they're right. monitoring, they're figuring it out. They're you know, looking what algorithms they need to use. And so YouTube has effectively become a platform which is totally useless for people who are dissidents and who have critiques of the establishment.
Right. It's like trying to work within the USSR government for freedom in the USSR.
Yeah.
It's just not going to work.
Yeah, and you even have, you know, the story of that Android phone who listens to what you say. You know that experiment that they did a few months ago, I think.
Yeah, it gives you targeted ads once you've talked about something. Yeah. It shows you, and even YouTube can do that. You allow YouTube to get access to your microphone and to your camera, so you can have a conversation with your wife or with your child or something, and then you watch a video, and it gives you a perfectly, the topic you were talking about, you know, an ad.
Yeah, they took a couple who never had dogs, and they asked them to talk about dogs and dog food and dog leashes for 2 days.
Yeah.
And they never had ads for dog stuff. Yeah. And they left their phones in the kitchens, and then came the ads. So how is that possible? Text transcription.
Yeah.
So,
that's right.
Use that for political means and see where we end then.
Yeah. I heard two guys went fishing on a lake. They called into a talk radio. They went fishing on a lake. They turned their phones off. They go fishing on the lake, and as soon as they turn their phones on, they're getting ads about what they had talked about, fishing out on a lake.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah.
But it's free.
Everything is free. Exactly. It's always free. No, exactly. They're definitely monitoring. They're tracing the calls. They're checking all of the things that they can. And of course, as you say, I tried to find that story with the dog. That was an interesting one. But there's so many examples of this, guys. So, of course, that's why it's so important that we don't allow these big mega corporations, which are, at the end of the day, hostile towards patriotism, towards nationalism, towards conservatives, right-wingers, whatever you want to call it. And then, of course, using all that data to track and to monitor us and stuff. But there is the biggest challenge that always comes in the wake of this is how to get people to a new platform. Because, you know, the great thing that was, what was great about with YouTube was that you could get
about this.
Yeah, I'll let you talk in a moment. I just want to finalize this point here that, you know, YouTube was for a while a website where you could go and you could dive deep into the rabbit hole on a subject, and you were fed more of that, right? Recently, they've started to complain on this part of the algorithm within YouTube that, well, if you search for JFK assassination or something, YouTube keeps feeding you more of this. This is what they were complaining at Data and Society in this Alternative Influence report, the Influencers Network report. And so they want a way for the topics that are not approved to no longer show up in your feed, and so that YouTube will give you things that you don't find relevant, that you don't want to listen to, that you don't want to watch. So this is totally retarded, of course, and they are going to shoot themselves in the foot. I think that YouTube is on a suicide path right now. However, it's still the biggest platform out there. It has millions and millions and millions of viewers, millions of people. And what's great about something like that is that you don't always want to just preach to the choir, as they say. You want to reach new people. You want to reach people that never thought of watching a video about how great Trump are after they've been watching a video about how much Trump suck or something like that, right? You want them to come out of their echo chambers and be exposed to other kind of material as well on top of it. But what's the plan, guys, in terms of like actually getting people to then come over to a new platform and you know, leaving something else or at least adding it into the repertoire, if I can put it like that?
On this point, I have three suggestions. First, we're not in such a good position as we think, because you say it's a huge platform, there are millions of people, but it's like the Soviet Union. To move that thing, you need years. And as long as the system is there, nothing changes. And you're always with the boot on your head. So we really have to take the effort, go out and start something smaller, but something that corresponds to what to your ethics. That's my point of view. You can let it slide 1-2 years, and you'll see in what situation you will be then. But I at least took the effort, made the effort to try something else. Secondly, as I decided to take a closer look first at the situation, I don't know if you remember the Anglo controversies on Gab. The point of the terms of use, it must not be in any direction. It has to have a frame of conservative values, not anything, because then you'll always be a target for right and left. It's not possible. And third point is the financing. So if you look at what other people are doing, not again to name them, but some people are having dreams of stock exchange and hybrid stock crypto pricing and be listed in some stock exchange. That's not the solution. Okay, you will get capital from the outside, but from whom? And once you'll have your stock price listed and somebody posts something you don't want to see, they don't want to see, they will shame you like they did with Kavanaugh until and they will keep the stock price in the bottom until you remove it. So it's not a solution. So my point was, the only ones who own the narrative are the conservative users. That's it. You know what I mean? Millions of them. We don't need corporations who tell us what to do ultimately at one point, because it's like with the sirens. You know, sirens in the sea, they call you, and then you say, oh, why not? Let's go to Wall Street. Let's become bigger. And then you have the handcuffs in the hands. And then you see what I mean? You're the partner at the end. And that's
not we want to control it ourselves.
Yes.
And that does mean a subscription base for the content providers. But as far as attracting people from outside that are, you know, content on YouTube, that are not doing political stuff, I think that if people are just going to YouTube to see funny, you know, falling down cats, football bloopers, we don't need them anyway. We're looking for the people that are hungry in this information war. And when we send a link saying, hey, do you know, this is a video about Birmingham, England being invaded and taken over, they won't let you see it on YouTube. Look, here's the picture that it shows. It's disabled. It's taken down. It's put into limited state. It's banned. This is just, you know, information they're denying you. Well, people in the Soviet Union didn't know that there was another reality outside until they started hearing Voice of America and Radio Free Europe and Solzhenitsyn writes the Gulag Archipelago. And this starts a process because people are hungry for the truth. And when they start seeing, hey, there is a platform where you're not banned for saying the things that you really want to say, where you can talk about patriotism and nationalism in frank terms and not dance on ice to please social justice warriors, I think we're going to get people coming over. Because this is an information war more than anything else. And it's not about trying to be bigger than YouTube. It's about being an alternative to YouTube for our messaging, where they can't control us and force us to self-censor.
Yeah, no, also, that's great. That's a good outline. Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
But also a qualitative one, because if you look at the videos who play on my platform, they are much. You can play paragliding videos, football videos. They look awesome. Those people can come also if they want to have sport videos, entertainment videos. They'll have them in HD, no problem. But the other people who get censored, they will be able to talk also. And you will have a reporting function. So if you don't like something, you can report it, and then we will judge if it's okay or not to remove it. But if you take the big platforms today, they remove everything that is not in the narrative. That's not okay. You have to have some kind of rules.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what a lot of people are complaining on as well, which I would agree with on YouTube, that it's also very undefined. You actually don't know. And the undefined. Reason why they do, the reason why they do that is so that they can just make a call on personal preference, really, because if they were clear on what it was, then we could go right up, if you will, towards that edge, right, and kind of nudge that all the time. And they don't want that. They want it to be fuzzy and unclear, so you don't know. And as you said, Matt, that's when you're like, oh, can I talk about this, or maybe I can't say this, and that's what happens. I mean, Woz had his Twitter account suspended, Millennial Woz, here just the other day. People are losing things left and right. Andrew I don't Bostom. Have to remind people of Alex Jones, right? Look at the coordinated effort there, you know?
Andrew Bostom, he's an Islamist scholar, high repute. Andrew Bostom, he's suspended or banned on Twitter. He hasn't posted anything in 2 days, and they don't even give you a chance to say what happened.
No.
You're just gone.
Yeah. They put you in the memory hole. They make you a non-person. That's what they do. They disappear you. That's basically what they do. And so that's good. I think we need more options. We need a lot of different newcomers out there. And ultimately, it is up to the people out there in terms of what catches on. I don't know how many YouTubes there were in the beginning, but they have been. They amounted to a few at the end of it. It was the Daily Motions and Live Leak, and there's Vimeo, and you know, a lot of them. And YouTube was the one that kind of caught on. We know that there's a kind of an internal promotion process. There was a lot of money dumped into Google in the early days, a lot of subsidies and stuff. So that's also one thing that does anger me, guys, with YouTube and many of these tech companies, that many of them got so much help from the government, so much subsidies and so much money to get to where they are, that they should be considered the public square. It should be considered that if you discriminate on someone on the grounds of political reasons, that should be punishable. But that hasn't happened yet. I don't know if Trump is going to move on this or not.
If I can add something, you always, I mean, in the 2 years where we were looking at since the Trump election, I was always talking with people on social media, and I was telling them, well, conservatives should start loving the subscription model and paying for their freedom. And they told me, no, when is the next free Twitter coming? And I told them, okay, the next free Twitter is coming in the quality of the Twitter from today. And you think it's going to be free? You think you're going to be able to talk for free once again? That's a state of dreaming from everybody. It is time. They have the infrastructure. They have the billions and billions. Why won't the conservatives pay 10, 15, 20 bucks a month for their freedom here and there? I don't mean to be the only platform, but at least don't be negative towards a subscription model like yours on Red Ice TV. You have wonderful content. It's free content, and paying for it is a breeze. That everybody should do it. But there are so many people still complaining about it. Like, oh, I don't have. I read it one time. I don't know if I have $4 this month for this. Is this a joke? You're on internet. You have a PC. You have an internet connection. That's not for free. Can't you add $10 to have free content? Really free content? People have to change their mindset.
Yeah, that's how the devil got you, right? With all the free stuff in the beginning, Google opened up. You could have Gmail. You could have, all these services and Skype and stuff. And then it's like, oh, it turns out they're just collecting all the data and spying on you and snooping on you. And not only about the ads and the directed ads and that slime. It's a bigger, as you said, Matt, behind that, that's a much bigger, sinister plot of like mapping and tracking. I think ultimately they will use the data that they collect towards dissidents. Like, how do we shut them down? How do we prevent them from growing any bigger? How do we turn people earlier in the process from going towards these opinions and stuff like that? They're studying and monitoring every aspect that they can, you know?
I see it myself all the time. I have like 15,000 Twitter followers. It goes up like 1% a month, you know? And people tell me.
Did you notice all of a sudden he just stopped though? Like it was like no new, and it happened across the board for a lot of people. Like just no new subscribers, no nothing, no movement, no anything.
It takes me months to go up 1/10 or go up like 100 more followers.
Yeah.
And if I post the best, funniest, killer meme of all time, I'm lucky if I get 10 retweets. People tell me that they have to go to my timeline. They have to type in my exact name.
That's right.
Go to my timeline. And go down what I've posted because my stuff just doesn't show up. I'm a bad comrade. You know, I'm not a team player. I don't go along to get along. So they just don't let me be seen. But that's, you know, that's why I'm excited about being in a free speech zone. And of course, it's a subscription model. But the alternative is having your brain data mined and social analyzed and stored for future reference against us.
So what does it cost? Tell us about that again, Dan.
Well, the prices are not fixed yet, but there are two prices that already are in the pro section. You can get a full video channel, 1 terabyte, that's 1,000 gigabytes. If you consider, for example, Mark Dice's channel with like 1,300 videos, the space is 200 gigabytes. So you'd have to make five times the videos that Mark Dice did over 10 years.
But it makes them short, though. That's the other thing. Unlike me, we do like hours of video. But no, I go on.
Just to say, you'd have enough space, and then the podcast channel the same. You'd get 1 terabyte, and you can upload what you want, when you want, and say what you want, and that's the most important thing. For $14 or $99 a year, or $14 a month, $99 a year, and that's an amazing thing because you already have all the basic functions in the front platform, which are free. So it's a new home. You have the video, the podcast, and the social media all under one roof. And it's worth a try. I love my platform. That's all I can say.
And then, of course, as we should clarify that too, then again, for those who didn't catch that the creators benefit from views. It's kind of a built into it. There are some other options, actually, that, you know, they have built it on the crypto model, I believe. I think even Minds went over to that or something recently, tokens or something like that. But this is instead, of course, in US dollars. But for every view that you get on the platform, the creator actually benefits from that financially to be able to continue producing the content, right?
Exactly. But that monetization model with the views, we will still have to fix it and to secure the payment means, because that's going to be a lot of transactions. If we have like 50,000 users, 100,000 users, it has to be organized. Yeah. But we will find a solution for that. But for the basic needs that we need, I mean, a full home for your content, it's there and you can already pay for it.
All right. Interesting. What else should we talk about in terms of the platform and stuff? And you know, I think it's great that there's new options and new avenues that people can explore and try out. And as I said, ultimately, it's up to the audience and the viewers out there what they like, which platform they jive with. There's a number of different things that all kind of congeal together that makes a platform successful and really take off. And some of it is, of course, well, definitely a lot of it is the intuitiveness of the platform, the efficiency of the platform. But there's other variables too, you know.
I like in considering all the existing world of social media, I like to, when I can, use one of them against the other, sort of like in Aikido, throwing one guy into another guy. So I post that meme on Facebook, I get banned for 30 days. Then I go on Twitter, make a bigger meme about being banned on Facebook, and then I ask a Twitter follower, post it back as a comment on the last thing I'm allowed, because I explaining why I'm banned again. So I like going to use one against the other. Torba and Gab, they've been very effective using Twitter to drive traffic towards Gab. You know, so I like to use their weapons where possible. You know, all is fair in this. They data mine my brain. I don't have any ethical consideration about using their weapons against them. So I use their social media to drive people to friendly media, to programs like Red Ice and this new social media universe, which will control the whole. We're going to control the entire ball of wax, everything.
And you guys explained to me when I spoke to you guys just the other day when you were kind of showing me the platform a little bit and what it was and stuff like that. And so you were talking about that too, that there's no, of course, expectancy, not that you could control that anyway, but no expectancy of someone to jump ship from their existing platforms. It is one more that they need to add into their repertoire as content creators. I still think YouTube needs to be the platform where we, for now, utilize as a way of, like, you know, fishing for newcomers, if you will, right? And that there are going to be videos or subjects or topics that if you are conscientious, you might have to just avoid them on platforms like YouTube, but you could have it on this platform, right? You could actually split some of the content and say, here are some that are a little bit more, in depth, it's a little bit more hardcore, it's a little bit more, edgy or whatever. But then there's some of the safe stuff that you can save for YouTube or whatever.
I like the idea of people when you create content. I mean, if I make a meme, I post it on Gab, Facebook when I'm not banned, and on Twitter at the same time. Boom, boom, boom. Well, if you're taking hours to build a new video, to create a new 10-minute or 1-hour video, and then don't just restrict yourself to YouTube. Put it on the new platform as well, and then see what happens. And when people see, oh, it's banned on YouTube, it's taken down, then you can then point them to say, look, if you want to see this content that YouTube is not allowing you to see, it's still available to see at FreeZoxy.
Yeah, we've got to use this Streisand effect,
Side by side, yeah. Banned on YouTube, yeah. Still available over here.
Yeah, and make a video about it being banned and then add a link in the description. And that's how I have to play the game. And because, again, there is no point in giving up these platforms. Ultimately, they need to be reformed. It is the public space. It's the public square. That's just what it is. And for us to partake in the political discussion, to try to convince people, to try to show them arguments, to try to say this idea is better than that idea, we have to be allowed to be on these platforms and share our ideas. They've just put this is hate speech or blah, blah. This will lead to violence. They never prove any of these things, how that actually works. But none of them, it's not against the law. They're not showing how it's against the law. They're just doing it out of their own political bias and their preference, saying, we don't like this because this is evil and bad. So they can put this stamp on it, and that's enough for them on the basis of them kicking us off the platforms or giving us strikes or whatever they do.
But they don't even announce that they're kicking us off the platform. You just disappear. So having a viable alternative, a parallel platform where it's still available, every time one's available on FreeZoxy and banned on YouTube, it's diminishing them, which will have the effect of causing them in the long run, in order not only for the money, because it's probably not going to be a big percentage for the first maybe year of in terms of lost from YouTube, but when YouTube gets a reputation as the banned place where you can only post humor and sports videos, then they're going to have to change their editorial policy. Because they're going to look like the USSR, which is not allowing rock and roll. They break the Beatles records coming into the country. This is one of the things that broke the back of the Soviet Union, was cultural evolution like the Beatles. Not that I'm a huge Beatles fan, but when you say you can't listen to Western decadent rock and roll, and then they sneak it in and are playing it in underground discotheques, it makes your government look like a joke. Well, banning platforms like Red Ice makes YouTube look like a joke, like the USSR. So it will, I hope, have the result of causing them to rethink their editorial censorship policies.
Yeah, that's right. They're not the cool kids anymore. They're the stuck up church ladies, as Jim Goad says.
And they can't stop it. They can't stop the signal.
If I can add something, for me, the most important thing was not so much the alternative, because you have Gab, you have BitChute, and you have to give credit to those guys. They went for it and they did it. So I don't have any negative feelings towards them.
Of course.
I heard many interviews of Andrew Torba. He's a nice guy. He's doing his thing. It's only not my analysis after 3 years of what should be done in the future, but he's going to do his thing. We'll do our thing. But the most important thing for me was the interconnectivity. So you have the podcast, the audio, you have the video and the social media under one roof. That means you can take a video from the big video platform and put it integrated directly in one of your posts. You can take a podcast and have it listened in one of your posts. So people have everything in one place. They don't have to look for the video here. BitChute is the next YouTube. And the post in Gab, Gab is the next Twitter. That's not the point. One place, all information in one place for all the people. And it has to be pleasant for the eye, and it has to be efficient technically. I mean, if you take our posts, you can embed videos from our video platform, or you can upload them directly into the platform, or you can embed links from Dailymotion, Vimeo, YouTube, and even BitChute. I even added BitChute. So you just take a link and embed a BitChute video. And I had the same thing with BitChute. I sent them an email like 9 months ago, and I told them, could we collaborate? I have it here. You could have it on the screen right now. And I wrote them like 50 lines. I didn't get one answer. So, okay, I said, I do my thing. I was ready to collaborate. They didn't take me seriously. And I was right. In the aftermath, I'm only hearing, like since weeks, Mainz, BitChute, Gab. Man beat shoot Gab. Man, I'm having the impression to listen to CNN, MSNBC, CBS. Yeah, that's the three new big platforms. And I'm working day and night, like since 1 year, to make something better. And now I'm finished. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, that's, as I said, that's up to people to make that judgment and call, of course. And again, I'm kind of of the belief, the more the merrier at this point. We need to have a viable option, and we'll see which one
and
takes off.
And, have you.
And it's the same we're thing. You. Thank you. And this is the same thing there. I wish everyone that's out there doing this well, and I wish everyone to be successful. And I'm glad that everyone who is there, who have set up alternatives, are there and doing what they're doing. So great work on all you guys for doing this and trying to offer us, the content creators, something, an option and something viable. Tell us about the name quickly, Free Zoxy. How did that come? What's behind that?
Well, Zoxy is my surname since I'm a kid, so I cannot explain it. it would be censored on Red Eyes.
Oh, really? Okay, interesting. All right, interesting. All right, well, that's the name anyway, Free Zoxy. And so when does this open up? When do you accept new creators? When do you accept new people who maybe not want to create, but just to consume? It's open right now, okay.
Go on, register, that's it.
Okay, freezoxy.com. We'll add a link down in the description. I'm not affiliated or anything like that with these guys. They told me about the project a couple of days ago over Skype. It sounded interesting. I wanted to do a show with them and bring them on and talk about it. So, Dan, before we let you go and we continue our conversation with Matt, because I want to talk more with him and about the latest updates of what's going on in Europe and America, from the war on Trump in America to the continued invasion of Europe. There's a lot to discuss there. But, Dan, anything else, last things you want to add before we let you go for today?
I'm just grateful that you had me. It was a great opportunity for me to put it forward, because it was a lot of work since 1 year. Matt knows about it, and I hope it will work out, and many people will bring us their support.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us, Dan. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Henrik. Thanks a lot for having me.
Guys, we'll just take a short little break here. So, Matt, do stay with us, and we will be back in the second part of this show shortly. All right, boys and girls, thank you for joining us here for part one. We are going to continue in part two at redicemembers.com, our exclusive continuation. As we do most of our interviews that we do a second part, and that we reserve, if you will, for members. So we give our subscribers out there a little bit more to dig into. We have a lot of other things, of course, as well in the members' archives. Exclusive video material, exclusive Weekend Warrior show, a news roundup that we do most weekends. So definitely check that out if you're new to it. But the way we can continue this media project, this alternative media endeavor, and get the word out, help to awaken our brothers and sisters of European heritage, wherever they are, and other people out there too, by the way, that happen to agree with us. We do have listeners from all over the world that see where we are coming from. They see our point of view, and they in some cases also agree and share our concerns for a Western world which is basically tanking and swirling in the toilet right now. They do understand our grievances and understand that our concerns are legitimate. But wherever you're from and wherever you're listening from, watching, thank you so much. And if you do want to support us, sign up for a membership at redicemembers.com. That's the best way to ensure that we can continue to operate against all the censorship, the banning, the termination of our PayPal accounts, the avenues financially for us are being closed down. Another service, Venmo, canceled our accounts just the other day. So that's another one down, another one we can't use. So we need you guys' help. We need you to be there and support us so we can continue doing this. And thank you again to everyone who is out there helping us out, make sure that we can continue. All right. So anyway, last thing I want to mention before we go to the second part for members is that this show with Dan about Free Zoxy and Matt is not intended as a disapproval of all the other networks out there. I don't want anyone out there who are doing good work offering up alternatives to some of these mainstream social media platforms to think that we don't like them and we just favor this one. That is not true. We encourage everyone out there to create your own platforms, create options, create alternatives. As we know, usually it's just a few that sticks, and so the more the merrier. That's what I feel at this point. I'm not with Free Zoxy. I think that it looks like a good platform. I'm going to start trying it out myself. They set up an account for us, so we're going to see how things go down. But I wish them all the best. I also wish all the best to the people out there already with existing platforms, be they, you know, video platforms, be they kind of Facebook/Twitter social media versions, if you will, as well. Minds, Gab, of course, there's many out there, many that we've spoken with on the show as well. But so that's where we're coming from. That's why we do this show. It's not a specific encouragement of one or the other. We just want to bring attention to it, all the ones that are out there. If there are other options out there too, people doing this kind of stuff, that we haven't had on the show and help to promote, if you will, just reach out to us and we can do a show about those too. We want to spread as many as possible out there. Ultimately, it is the audience, if you will, the viewers, the users of these platforms that kind of decide. And it's usually the ones that become the more popular ones that, of course, more people will flock to consequently. So again, as I said, I think we need as many as possible out there. And may the best platform win. That's kind of how I view that. But I think that's what is good and needed to mention about that. But so stay with us, folks. Join us in the members segment together with Matt Bracken. We have an important show coming up. We're going to discuss the future of Europe as it relates to America. The midterm elections are coming up. Things could drastically change. Trump might be impeached. Things could happen on an international scale that might actually have big consequences in Europe and other parts of the world as well. We're going to talk about this aspect of Orban, Viktor Orban, being attacked by the European Union specifically, and where we have people within higher-ups in the EU calling for intervention, American intervention in Hungary, militaristically go in and basically topple Orban and take him out, a democratically elected leader. It's truly extraordinary. So we'll go into that and much more in terms of the American situation with the Kavanaugh hearings, the witch hunts, and everything else that's happening in America right now. So join us at redicemembers.com. Thank you for watching and listening. We will talk to you after the break.